father of Flynn. Could you tell us about the feud he had with Frank O'Connor?
Well, you see, Frank O'Connor and Father O'Flynn, I don't know whether they ever actually met, but they certainly had their arguments in the paper. Mm-hmm. And Frank O'Connor, being a writer, would have been treated with serious suspicion by Father O'Flynn. Mm-hmm. Because generally, like Father O'Flynn, he's grand with Shakespeare, but he wouldn't, I would say, be over-enthusiastic about young men writing short stories about Cork, you know. No, wouldn't want that at all. Maybe I'm doing him an injustice, but I leave it at that. But what happened, I think, with him was this. They were forming the Dublin Dramatic Society up in Dublin. And Lennox Robinson, who was involved in the foundation of it, was looking for money. Mm. And he came to Cork, I think, or at least sent the word to Cork, that it would be nice if people would subscribe to the Dublin thing, you see. Naturally, Father O'Flynn didn't like that. Mm. And he wrote a letter about nationalism in drama, and there was a long correspondence later, 10 letters exchanged, until the editor came along and said this correspondence must now cease, you know. But there was a lot of argumentativeness going on about it.
And the letters, were they sent to
the Examiner?
Oh, right.
Oh yes, where else? The Examiner. The Cork Constitution was there too. I think that was closed down about 1924. Mm. It was the other paper. It was a unionist paper, if you like, or the Protestant paper, or whatever they call it. These terms are sort of fading away, but they are. That's the way they were.
And would you remember, would you have ever read the letters in the paper?
Probably one of them I did. And I have them. In fact, I have them somewhere upstairs, actually. Mm. But they were sniping at each other, and they were crotchety with each other, and they couldn't see that they were really both on the same side if they only knew what they were talking about, you know.
Mm. Right.
Because Frank O'Connor founded the Cork Dramatic Society, that was it, and Father O'Flynn, I think, did not like rivals in the field at all.
Mm.
And he used to do foreign plays. Like he would do Chekhov's translation of Chekhov's plays, and he did a number of plays here, which I suppose Father O'Flynn wasn't very impressed by anyway, probably, you know.
Mm. Where would they go on then?
Oh, they go, well, I don't know. They could go on the actual places. I knew it at one stage, but I can't remember now.
Okay. And what would, just from your own recollection, what would have been kind of generally, you know, Corkonians' kind of opinion of, say, Frank O'Connor, or how was he held?
Well,
generally?
Frank O'Connor, you see, was a neighbour of mine, if you like, up in Dillon's Cross. He lived in Harrington Square. Do you know where that is? It's just below Dillon's Cross.
I didn't.
And I think the house he lived in has probably a plaque on it now. But when he was in Cork, he was a child at the time, and a young teenager. But the brothers in the Mon didn't like him, and he left, or he was kicked out of the Mon. Maybe not kicked out, but he was sort of, he got the impression they didn't want him, you know. And he was talking about where he left them on when he was 14 or 15. He was up there, but he didn't get on well with the brothers because, as you know, this was the trouble with us at the time, and it still is maybe, they couldn't stand independent thinkers because, as you know, no disrespect to the church, perhaps, maybe not, but the church wanted complete acceptance of what they said, you know. Mm. And so, for instance, you'll find, which is one way, you were not supposed to eat meat on a Friday.
Mm.
But that was only a law made by the church themselves, you see.
Mm.
And you were supposed to go to if you wanted to go to communion, you had to be fasting from midnight, which we were talking about that here the other day. There were people fainting regularly when you go to Mass. Now it was a crowd, the churches were crowded and it was stuffy, I suppose, and it wasn't just. Fellas would be fainting. And I know I was, they weren't fainting all over the place, but it was quite common for a lady or gentleman or child to get weak and be taken out of the church. That doesn't happen any. Well, it doesn't. It does happen in that time, but it rarely happens.
Mm. Okay, and just to return to Frank O'Connor, did you ever meet him or?
Oh no, no, no. He was very controversial there as well, in the '40s, and eventually he, I think he went to America as well. Yeah. He left Ireland. Well, I don't think he. He was, he did well in America. He used to write, as you know, he used to write for the New Yorker, you know.
Mm.
And he was the trouble, look at it. If you take the story, you know, of Guests of the Nation, which was his story. As you know what it's about the British and the IRA, as we call them, captured a couple of British soldiers and held them hostage against the execution of one of their men.
Mm.
Eventually, the man was executed, and so they had to bump off the other two as well. And that story is incredible.
Mm.
I taught that many times now there, and it's very hard to read that story, the last paragraph of it, in a classroom, you know.